Stay up. The stories of institutional subversion are not only ancient stories, but have been lived throughout time.
Within our midst are others who have been created to be curious, to love, to heal, and to change the course of events.
We listen to the stories of Ivy Marlowe, Marshall Holland, Katie Johnson, and Heather Marie Elton.
And we offer to them the blessing of Sophia.
I would like to share with you today the story of my spiritual journey, since I think it illustrates the process many young women are experiencing when they try to integrate church into their spiritual life. It's a difficult choice. On the one hand, wanting to create a space for myself within a tradition I feel is a part of me, and on the other, wanting a spiritual life freed from the constricting ideas of the church and the hardships that go along with challenging an established institution. My story begins within an institution, a Presbyterian church in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Growing up, religion meant my church community. Many women who have given up on this institution have done so after attending churches that gave them nothing and often betrayed their trust. This is not my experience. I learned from Southminster Presbyterian Church the importance of social action. I traveled around the U.S. and to Guatemala and Hungary, working for people not because they needed my assistance, but because my church community helped me see them as precious and powerful. My church was a great thing in my life during those grueling middle and high school years. It didn't help me with the problems I had with my body image, and no spiritual awakening occurred. Yet it did instill in me my value and life commitment to community service. I then went to McAllister College and left this religious community. To me, religion was community, and without the community, I lost even the hope which I had called my faith. At this point, the Christian religion stopped making sense to me. I had given it up, since without the church community, the doctrine became irrelevant to my life. As an unsure first-year student, it was safe, almost an intellectual move, at college to call myself an atheist. In my social circle, Christianity meant wars, destruction of culture, patriarchy, and the end of a time period that celebrated women in a spiritual context. I soon forgot what the church had done that was positive. More importantly, I started to really find strength within myself. I found that being a woman was part of my strength. And the Bible, as I had known it then, had no answers for me. Later, in my first year of college, I began caring for people living with AIDS. And for 3 years, I was confronted with religion in a whole new context. The need for a spiritual life, not a religious community, started nagging me. Watching my residents at the end of their lives, whether they were singing the Christian song, I Will Overcome, or making temples out of paper towel rings and burnt orange peels, religion kept them strong. My coworkers heard the heartbeats of guardian angels and talked casually about the ghosts in the house, and this inspired them to do great work. To stay strong in a world that is full of tragedy and strife, I found that a spiritual life, at least for me, was close to essential. So I started searching again. I began talking with my chaplain about conflicting doubts and my need for a spiritual life. She listened and encouraged me to question. I joined a woman's spirituality group on campus called Threads that allowed me to share my spiritual insights. Witches all joined in sacred space. Every week, someone from the group would lead us in a weekly reflection and storytelling. We would have topics ranging from favorite meals and childhood memories to difficult emotional issues such as rape. We would share our experiences, and from all different faiths, our stories were to all of us sacred and strengthening. As I began to develop as a more spiritual person, I started to crave the institution. Knowing it couldn't give me what I needed spiritually, I wasn't sure what to do. This summer, I went to a Christian conference concerning feminism and the environment entitled Listen to the Wind with the National Network of Presbyterian College Women, and met women who weren't allowing a male-focused, at times non-tolerant institution from keeping them from the tradition that they loved. I met a woman just out of seminary who was going to enormous lengths to preach as a woman in the Southern church she grew up in. This brilliant woman could have gone to almost any other Presbyterian church to preach and would have been thoroughly appreciated, yet stayed at the church that raised her, despite the fact that some walked out when she spoke. She was adamant to show her congregation what powerful preachers women can be. I met a lesbian who was going into the ministry and was so inspired by her dedication to the Presbyterian church. When I came up against conflict, I backed down and found spiritual strength elsewhere, whereas she wasn't going to let her tradition leave her behind. She decided to take the hard road and to fight to change the presbytery, to work for tolerance within the institution to include people like us. At McAllister, my college chaplain, Lucy Forrester Smith, pushes the boundaries of mainstream Christian ideas. She keeps her Christian tradition, yet opens our college institution so all students can express themselves spiritually. These women helped me start to realize the need to work at changing our institutions rather than abandoning them. At the Listen to the Wind conference this summer, I heard Psalm 23 with female pronouns for the first time. In my youth, I had memorized a psalm, as you might remember doing in my confirmation class, yet never really heard and felt its power. Hearing it with this simple change brought me to tears. I'd never felt so comforted by Scripture. It is phenomenal that making such a simple change can bring you to a higher spiritual level. Yet the institution has a fear of these small changes. There is no question I am worth a simple change. In my religious study classes at school, I'm starting to read the Bible in a new light. In my quest for the historical Jesus class, I put a lot of energy into feminist biblical critiques. It's been empowering to realize that not only can I read about Christian feminist theology, but I can create it. Why is there a powerful Christian right, yet a very small influential left? I know this is partly due to the many women my age who are finding themselves spiritually outside the church and are giving up. Hopefully, women like myself will be able to leave, gather reinforcements, and come back when they are feeling stronger. Then we too will be able to reimagine the institution. The lives of women are too closely tied with the attitudes of these institutions for liberal thinkers to allow them to push us out. The institution has created a cultural imprint of oppression, and I'm starting to see how necessary it is for our voices to be heard. Being a liberal Christian within an institution isn't an easy path, but people my age must start to see the need to be a part of an institution that has such a large influence on our society. My journey hasn't ended yet. I have big discoveries to make. Do I really consider myself a Christian? Should I go back to the Presbyterian church in which I was raised? Should I join the Unitarian church I'm attending now? Lots of questions, but one thing I am sure of, and will argue any of my religious-fearing classmates on, is that the institution needs our vision of what the church has the potential to be. Blossoming our liberal spiritual lives within these established traditions, rather than fighting them, is a way to make the world change. Woo!